A good way to prevent parishioners from talking negatively about your sermons is to invite their help in preparing and evaluating them. Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, and that's our key sentence for today. We're talking with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, do you know what a Sunday roast the preacher meal is?
Yeah, I do. I don't like the term. You've seen a pig on a spit. It's kind of the preacher on the spit. I don't like it because I'm a preacher as well. So I know what it is. I understand what it is. Yes. Okay.
Do you think you've ever been the preacher who was being roasted? Did you ever feel that hot fire after the Sunday service singeing you as you turned around and around and around on that spit?
Yes. The answer is yes. Did I deserve that? The answer is probably yes once again. There's a time when you're just learning to do something that you make a lot of mistakes. You are also very defensive. I've been there. I haven't been on that for a long time. I don't think that I have been the subject of a roast the preacher discussion for decades, okay? It doesn't mean that I haven't been at all. I have been, yeah. Fortunately, through my lifetime, people have been very kind with me, and I don't think it's been a lot, but I remember people saying, you know, so-and-so was talking about your sermon, and they probably won't be staying at the church anymore, and so on. So it's a part. It's very painful. It's not a funny phrase to most ministers. So,
have you ever been the roaster rather than the roastee? In other words, have you ever been on the roasting end of the deal?
I know what you're asking. Okay.
Let me say it another way. Okay. No, go ahead.
I would like it if my wife doesn't hear this podcast, because she will say, "What do you mean, David? You're terrible at that." But I would say, "Sweetheart, I used to be terrible at that, but I'm not anymore. I'm very careful about it. And I know the difference, you know, because somebody talks about a sermon or is constructively critical doesn't mean you are in a roast the preacher session. However, in my earlier years, yes, I was quite critical. And that is something the Lord has deeply convicted me of, shown me the error of my way. I have confessed. I am confessing once again. And I not only have confessed, I have repented. And repentance means I've been going the wrong way. I turn around. I don't walk that way anymore. I am one of those who says that is in my past. And I believe that's a fair statement.
Mm-hmm. So you're a recovering preacher roaster.
No one has ever said it that way, and I don't even like to say it that way because it reminds me of those past embarrassing times when I thought I knew everything. Other people didn't even begin to measure the stature that I had attained, you know. But that's a long, long time ago.
Isn't some of that, too, a product of youth? Weren't you a younger person at the time?
Oh, yeah, very much so. And there's so many mistakes you make when you're young. And I chalk that up to being young, but it still was inexcusable.
Is there a solution to this roast the preacher problem?
I think it's a very good solution, and it's you just change the focus of the conversation. What you do is to try to get the people to talk about your sermons without that same thing of this guy is terrible. So what you're trying to do is say, how do we take what needs improvement and constructively build on that? So I want people to talk about my sermons. That's not a problem. Sometimes the roast the preacher session is not about sermons. It's about the person, and that in itself is wrong as well. But if you're talking about the sermons, I think that can be corrected easily by a minister who invites the laity to be involved in the process of formulating those sermons and also in the process of evaluating those sermons. And the evaluation is not on, do you preach as well as the guy at First Baptist? And if you think you do, then what about the guy at First Assembly of God? I mean, he is really a good preacher. That's not what you're doing. You're basically saying, I need help in preparation of my sermon to make sure this is appropriate to how you are growing, that I understand you well, and then I need help after the sermon. Did this meet the needs that were there? And I invited people to be a part of that process all the time, and they became so open talking about my sermons, and in a positive way, they were helping me with illustrations, helping me when they didn't think it was expressed exactly as it should have been, but always in a positive way. That was very interesting, and I find that even in terms of my sermon coach role. I'm not a sermon critic. I'm a sermon coach. I can be helpful. If you don't want to coach, you probably can't be helped that much. But if you are open to talking about it, I can talk about it in a way that is not going to shame you at all. I had one minister, I remember I would work with him on his sermons, and he would say to me, David, I can talk to you because I know you will never shame me. And that was true, I wouldn't. That was pleasing to me, that he understood the difference. As a parishioner, I could give helpful information, I could answer his questions, I could make suggestions, and I could also be affirming of him and say, you really knocked it out of the park this morning. That was absolutely fabulous what you did. So how do I get the congregation to be my friend as opposed to how do I keep them at arm's length? And then they probably, because they can't get past my defense, how do I help them that they don't become my enemy and say, okay, we can't get to you, then we'll talk about you behind your back. You don't want that to happen.
As someone who sits in the pew, I can say that it's most helpful to me if I were to be solicited to give my opinion, if the pastor came to me and said to me, Dean, this is what I plan to preach on. Here's the topic I'm going to preach on. Here's my subject. And here's the response I believe I want from the congregation. How does this resonate with you?
How does it fit your life?
Yeah. Are there illustrations that you think might be helpful? Or is this something that would be useful to you in your own spiritual development? That kind of collegial approach has great value, as opposed to a pastor saying, what do you think I should preach on? Now, there may be occasions when asking that question to a small group of people might be helpful in planning purposes, but generally speaking, it's better if the pastor comes with a subject and a response and then asks for help in fleshing out the sermon. He or she, as a pastor, has constructed the skeleton, the framework on which this sermon will be constructed, and then is asking me, as a parishioner, for a little bit of help with muscles or tissue or whatever to flesh it out.
Good way to put it. Has that ever happened for you, Dean?
No, I've never been asked that by any pastor in any church I've ever been. The only time that's ever happened to me is with you. You and I have known each other for 37 years, and in the course of some of our face-to-face meetings, starting many years ago, way back in that first year of our relationship, I was with you at a time when you were working on a broadcast, and you said, here's my subject, here's the response. How does that strike you? Is that something that resonates with you? Is that something that would meet a need in your life? And we talked about that. Later on, when I heard that broadcast on the radio, there were a couple of times during that 12-minute broadcast where I could pick out ideas that I at least had some part in contributing. It was pleasing to me to know that you valued what I had to say, but more so, it was pleasing to me to know that you were making an effort to understand what people in your audience might want to hear to help them along their walk with Jesus.
Do you think if you had listened to the program and I hadn't referenced anything you said, you would have felt the same way?
I don't think it would have mattered to me at all whether you used anything I said, just the very fact that you talked to me. There is a humility that comes when you approach someone and ask for their help. If you come genuinely seeking their help, there's almost an innate humility about that. One of the things that many pastors don't seem to realize that they create around them is a feeling that they are arrogant or pompous, and that they kind of set themselves apart from the people in their congregation. Now, some pastors try to overcorrect by being more worldly in their appearance to seem to fit in. But the truth is, pastors live in a very different world than the congregation. And the best way to relate to your congregation is through some type of humble connection with your people rather than any kind of false connection that you might try to make. Asking people for help is truly a humble thing to do.
I've done it so many times, I don't think of it as being humble. A lot of times I've even called people on the phone and I say, you know what, I'm trying to think through and I can't seem to do this, and it helps me to do it out loud. Would you just give me a few minutes? This is what I'm trying to say. Is this confusing to you? Are you following me? And then from that develops a whole additional conversation that is tremendously helpful. And a lot of times those people will actually call me back again and say, you know, I've been thinking about what you said, and this is an area where I've been helped when that happens. So, but again, if it's just general talk, that's no good. If you talk about a specific subject and the response that the scriptures are calling for that you are going to put into your sermon, then they can respond. Otherwise, it's just too muddy. It doesn't go anywhere.
Even though you may not think of that as humble because it's so natural a part of who you are, nevertheless, it comes across to the person being asked wow, the pastor is interested in what I have to say. That's a very different feeling that people get from a pastor who will do that than from the pastor who remains pretty much aloof in the stance that he or she may take with regard to the congregation.
You know, Dean, I've known a lot of pastors, and I don't think they are aloof. I wonder what prohibits them from reaching out and asking for help.
Well, I think the truth is, and this is often the case, what drives at least the appearance of pomposity or arrogance is that a lot of people and a lot of pastors have a fairly low self-image. They are not secure in who they are. We all have problems in our lives. We all have identity issues. And we believers, we need to put our identity in Jesus. That's what gives us our identity as Christians. And there's a tremendous freedom that comes when we recognize that our identity resides in Christ. It doesn't have to be in my accomplishments or how well I preach or how well I minister or whatever. I belong to Jesus. And because of that, I think that low self-image may sometimes create an illusion that comes across to the congregation as arrogance or pomposity when that's the last thing that's in the mind of the pastor.
Yeah, and it would be so unfortunate if that is really the cause and then they get into a roast the preacher session because of that insecurity. That would be really sad. Give that sentence again, will you?
A good way to prevent parishioners from talking negatively about your sermons is to invite their help in preparing and evaluating them. We're so glad you joined us for our SermonCoach.com podcast today. You found it at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to make full use of the resources we have on our website, and we invite you to join us once again for our SermonCoach.com podcast.